You're flying so high over cities of gold, but in your mind's eye, something evil takes hold. Call from a stranger, you whisper a name, dive into danger.
Welcome to episode 228 of the Kaiju Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Chad O'Brien, and joining me is the ever-present, except sometimes not, Chris Charlton.
Ever-present on a fortnightly basis, yes.
That's right, yes. And the one who always shows up when Jason isn't around, Adam Bolton. Actually, wait, I'm being handed a note here. This is Adam Bolton's first appearance. Welcome to the show, Adam.
I'm the new guy. It's my first day.
That's right. Why don't we get started with who are you, and how did you get into our studio, and what are you doing here?
Oh, the big life questions. Who am I? I am a freelance journalist living in Tokyo. I cover mostly tech and gaming, CNET, Japan Today, just local publications sometimes. Huge gamer. Been doing it since most of my life.
Huge gamer with what else? A huge beard.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's the first thing people notice about me from the get-go is the epic beard. Quite proud of it. I was preening it earlier on.
Larger than a Nintendo Switch.
Probably, actually, yeah. I could probably secrete a Nintendo Switch in the beard. I won't need a carry case or anything like that. Just whip it out.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be the weirdest thing to see in Japan, but it's nope. Close.
Nope. You know what the weirdest thing I used to see? I used to live in Fujisawa, where there was a rabbit man. And what I mean by that was that there was a man who had a pet rabbit that would treat it like it was his dog, you know, like, so he would walk it on a leash. But then also, like, awesomely, you'd see him in the conveni and the rabbit would be sitting on his shoulder like a pirate's parrot. He'd ride about the town with it, with the rabbit sitting in his basket.
I can top that. There is a local man. I'm not sure if he lives in this city, but he lives near it. I see him quite often. He is known on the internet as the Tawashi Man. And for those who don't know the Japanese, Tawashi is the Japanese word for a toilet brush. So like your rabbit, he treats it like a pet. He drags a Tawashi along the floor behind him wherever he goes. He wears geta, those are the wooden sandals, and a gentleman's top hat.
Yep. Yep. Anything else to go with that ensemble, or like just the geta and the top hat?
I don't think I can actually beat that. What do I do? I haven't actually seen the guy, but I've seen him in the newspapers every now and again, is the guy who walks his turtle. Yeah, this like pretty big, giant, you know, 100-year-old turtle. The man himself is like 80 years old, and he just kind of slowly walks around with his turtle, best buddy for life.
Yeah, I was going to say they'd be roughly on pace with one another. So like, yeah, it wouldn't just be like, oh, come on,
nothing to beat a toilet brush.
The turtle marching ahead like you're Napoleon.
what you drag along behind you really tells a lot about the kind of person you are, I think.
Yes.
So, what would you drag behind you, Chris, if you were going to take something?
God, usually it tends to be my 3-year-old son that I'm dragging behind me.
I see. got him in the full, like, leash, everything, that, like, full body leash.
No, I probably do have to sort of yank on his arms again to move around as well. Got to hurry up. You could start preschool. in a couple of weeks. That is going to be a headache to get him out the door.
Yeah.
Not my problem, because I'm already at work at that point.
Well, you know, there will be sick days and snow days that you have to, you know, not work at your school, but still have to send your...
Yeah. Not many. I'm a full-time Japanese employee.
There you go. How about you, Adam? What would you drag along behind you?
Oh, my emotions. I don't think an animal. Probably, it'll get scratched, but I'll probably drag my PS4 around with me. It's like, sometimes I want to be social and go out and take my games around friend's house. We all sit down and play a few games. But it's the PS4 Pro, and it's so goddamn awkward and heavy. I'll probably just kind of like tether it to me and just drag it on a little cart when I need it to.
I think they've made a system just for you.
That's right. Yeah.
They might. Is it so?
No, it's not. It's
Yes, I might get a Switch at some point.
I will get one when I can walk into a shop and get one.
Yeah.
I did like your suggestion, Chad, I've never seen the point raised anywhere else, which is that every single player Switch game by default has like a zany, wacky, like local co-op mode built into it, which is just if you give like, you know, each player one of those Joy-Con things, and then suddenly one player has to do movement and the other person has to aim and shoot. Like, it's good.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Just do that with Zelda, do that with Zelda and,
yeah.
And yeah. Zelda. There aren't many games on the Switch is what I'm trying to say here.
Neo Geo games.
there are Neo Geo games. Yes. That's right.
Snip Eclipse. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it sounds terrible because they have fucked up virtual consoles so many times, but I am looking forward to buying virtual console games again.
It kind of works out for me because I understand the complaint people have that virtual console hasn't been unified yet, but I've honestly never spent money on the virtual console, so I'm in luck, I guess.
Mm. I had loads of Wii Virtual Console games before I sold my Wii. And that was one of those things. I should have asked for more money for it because it had a bunch of virtual console games that were tied, of course, to the system and not accounts. So whoever got my Wii, you know, like they were just getting a fucking used Wii from Bookoff. And probably when they turned it on, it was like, holy shit, there's like bare knuckle in here. And what else do I have? Some weird PC Engine Olympics game. It's just Borders. I'll get that too. Yoshi's Island, Super Metroid. Great days, eh?
Everyone loves used Wii, but that is the Switch.
Especially the President of the United States of America. That's like, it's a little bit late for that.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit there, but
I know that's why I was late with the drop there. I was like, should I? And then I was like, that was like months ago.
Well, I mean, you're British, so you know, you kind of get a little bit of a pass on making American political humor.
It takes time, doesn't it? They have to send the telegrams.
Yep. It has to get across the pond and then across another pond because you're a British person in Japan.
Well, and so then, right, okay, yes, yeah, they can't send it direct.
That's right, it has to go through England first, yeah.
Yes, I mean. yeah.
Obviously.
Right.
But, you know, Adam wanted to drag his PS4 everywhere, and even if you could, it might be a bit of a problem if you can't find a TV to hook that PS4 up to.
Well, the TV would be there as well.
Right, but
A friend of mine, he has like one of those Pico projectors. The thing's a little pocket things.
Yep.
Just Just strap that to the top of the PS4, turn it on, and any wall's a TV.
Yep.
They've got it all worked out.
Well, if you were wanting to play PS4 games on the go, it might not be as easy as the Switch, but Sony is making some headways into making PS4 games more accessible to everyone by allowing them to be streamed via PS Now. We don't really know what titles are going to be available yet. I'm sure.
Know one.
Knack.
Of course.
Yeah. Everyone knows that one. So, of course we've had PS3 games and, stuff like that.
PS3 games.
Yeah.
literally just PS3 games.
Just literally, okay, yeah. I thought there might have been some PS2 games I was trying to think.
No, because, I mean, that would really win me over as if they had PS2, especially if they had PS1. And I thought like that was just such an idiot-proof way to make money for that service would be to have a bunch of PS1 games on it. But no. Only the PS3. The PS2 games, Chad, are only downloadable, I believe, on the PS4 store. So.
This also comes with the caveat that a couple of weeks ago, Sony announced that PlayStation Now would be stopping service for everything but the PlayStation 4 and PC. So before that, it was available for Vita TV, certain smart TVs and everything like that. That is all going away. So,
tablets and things?
No.
Yeah, Android stuff that's being taken out as well?
Yeah, the Xperia, the Sony Xperia. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, there were rumors for a while that that since the Switch had been launched, Sony are now looking at their own new mobile platform. So I think I feel like they're kind of killing off a lot of the stuff that's pre-existing now, just so they can, you know, build up momentum. So, hey, look. Here's a new mobile way to play PS Now titles, and that might actually be it. It might be a PS Now device, mobile device.
There actually was, I can't remember if it was just a few weeks ago or a few months ago, but one of those patent releases that comes out every so often, a Sony patent from 2015, so well before the Switch was even announced, that Sony had patented a product that was basically the Switch. It was a little tablet with controllers that could hook in on either side. Like I said, this was a patent filed in 2015. It just got released for public viewing recently, but obviously, like, companies file patents like these all the time, and it doesn't mean we'll ever see this, but it was an interesting little revelation.
When you get to PS4 stuff, it gets, like, tricky. There's more guts in there than there is on the Switch. And then, like, if it's just a PS Now device, then, like, you're automatically fucked out of it being a mobile thing, because good luck streaming that stuff over cellular. Even 5G, it would be, you know, a little bit of a stretch, and it would be a stretch to expect coverage for that, you know, anytime soon. So yes, color me skeptical, but it's gonna be old games, isn't it, this PS Now thing, PS4 games?
Surely. I would wager.
But they're still PS4 games. They're of a higher quality than PS3. So, I think given time, especially from coming from like my tech angle, that eventually bandwidths aren't going to be so much of an issue. I mean, if I can already stream 4K quality via Netflix to my tablet or to my smartphone, I don't think like data, like streaming a game, isn't that far off.
But then if it's cellular, then like if you're streaming that stuff, like, can you imagine how much fucking money that's gonna cost?
Bandwidth. yourself.
I dare say, yeah, you could, but yeah, but whether you should is a different thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm attracted to this because I always bitch about my hard drive space on my PS4. So to be able to play PS4 games without having to download anything is a boon, and I do not give a shit. Like, I really don't care about, like, you know, I watch Digital Foundry, and, like, I always see those videos, and I go, don't know what you're talking about, me. You know? So, like, so I really don't care. Like, there's an occasional bit of artifacting if I'm, you know, if I'm streaming a game. So, like, you know, I think it would be cool if they delivered PS Plus games that way. Like, you know, if it was just like, here, stream this stuff, because most of the time there's PS Plus games, like, I'll play them a couple of times and then never play them again, and that's like a lot of hard drive space for that shit. So, you know, just let me stream it. It'd be cool. Or do what, like, the Surface was originally fucking proposed. Do you remember when they set up that Gaikai deal? They were like, oh, while you're waiting for your game to download and install, you can be streaming the full game instead, and then it will just take over once the game's downloaded and ready.
Yep. Yeah. Well, dreams die. Dreams die, Chris. Yep. At least for now. I don't know. It always seems to me that... when a company is super far ahead, as Sony is over Xbox, like, that's when they get complacent and just kind of stop caring about delivering on old promises.
Well, I mean, see Sony 2016.
Right. but I mean, then, but that goes the opposite way for the competitor. I mean, we've seen Microsoft make, you know, jump over backwards just to do all kinds of different things. Like, they did backwards compatibility, which is amazing. And then they announced that there's that new Xbox Game Pass where you can just pay an extra $10 a month to get, like, 100 games. Which is, again, it's absolutely amazing to get, like, Netflix for games, which is something we should have had all along. Like, yeah. So, I would like to see Sony implement some of those changes, but it's very unlikely.
Yep, oh well.
Yep, speaking of not implementing changes, let's talk about BioWare. Let's talk about BioWare. So, there's a new game from BioWare. You might have heard of it, called Mass Effect Andromeda. And that is dropping this week for the public. It's already in the hands of several people, like YouTube influencers and the press. We're seeing all kinds of, weird videos as a result. Because if there's one thing that has always stuck throughout every BioWare game I've ever played, it's that, that they understand how to manipulate mouths on faces, but not anything above the eyes.
right.
Which is, very important. I even had some, I mean, I understand this is a very difficult area, not just for BioWare, but for almost any company to do. I even noticed, several problems with eyebrow movement or just forehead movement, in games like Horizon Zero Dawn. As amazing as that game looks, sometimes like eyebrows, I would actually see them like jitter, which was just crazy.
I was about to get into the whole, Horizon Zero Dawn thing, because we've talked about it before. I don't think it was that bad. It felt like a lot of characters weren't like being like driven by their intense emotions enough that their brow furrows and really kind of creases up. But there were moments where it's just like some characters had some great emoting and they could really go. You kind of feel the pain behind some of these characters, but yeah, not all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. But then you go to Mass Effect Andromeda, and the videos we're seeing, people are having extreme emotions. They're threatening others, or being exceptionally sad, or the most famous one is this woman who just says, like, my face is tired, where her face does not move at all. And you know, first off, like who says a line like "my face is tired anyway"?
Do you think was that was maybe tongue in cheek, perhaps?
Could it be? I don't know.
Could it be? Perhaps. Yeah, and but well, beyond that, so like running animations,
yes,
just in general, that look like your characters shat themselves.
Yes. I need to see the context for that. I'm wondering if that's like his actual.
You're thinking it's a submission where you have accidentally shat yourself.
I'm thinking what happened is like he did some kind of sitting animation and just never got out of it, right? And so he started running while sitting.
I like my idea better.
Here's the
thing.
Yeah.
With BioWare, with these games, with these AAA titles, and just the internet in general, there are, speaking of shit, there are a lot of people who are going to shit on something very fast when they discover a bug. There have been a lot of people that have been doing like they got the early access from EA. They've been doing the multiplayer stuff. It's these few people that have reported these bugs that gets it flagged, and a lot of people that are saying that have played it have been counted maybe one or two.
So yeah, there was that assassin's.
People doing these crab walks down the stairs, all floppy legged, looking like they just soil themselves and they don't want it to like dribble down. They're like. You know, that's one or two that managed to capture these moments in GIF form.
Yeah,
so I'm not ready to, you know, throw in the towel and say, you know, Mass Effect's going to be terrible. I'm not one of those kind of people.
No.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like the facial animations are absolutely not a bug. Like this is what we're seeing from like everybody's stream.
No,
yeah.
If you are, in fact, a deaf gamer and you're lip reading, you assume everybody's saying, wah, 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 wah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there was like that Assassin's Creed thing, the 1 and 2 Redux that came out that was sort of full of bugs, and it was like, oh, we can quite replicate this, and we're trying to, you know. But I think like with Mass Effect, as Chad was alluding to, a lot of it is like, okay, so the shit in the cells animation, fair enough. But like, you know, cutscenes where there's, you know, one character punches the other one and it misses by like a half mile, you know, like the animation in the cutscene on the punch, like it misses by it just hugely whiffs, or like there's a character shooting a gun backwards, you know, just holding the gun backwards and shooting, you know, and these are just like production flubs. I just don't know how this shit happens, or I can suspect that I always thought, you know, and I said on this show several times, that Mass Effect, there's no way that's coming out in March, that's going to get delayed. And it hasn't, you know, because they've got to make the financial quarter, I guess, you know, and it seems like it's just been pushed out there, I suspect.
Which is kind of surprising as well, because, I don't know, it seems like they would have had a better cushion if, I mean, Mass Effect is going to make millions of sales anyway. It doesn't matter. But, it kind of seems like it would have been a better idea to go to maybe April or May, away from all of these, like just a little bit away from all of these large releases like Horizon and Zelda and,
as soon as you do that, then it's financial, like 2017 instead of 2016.
No, that's true.
So like that is that, you know, that's what I kind of meant by making the quarter. And I'm not convinced that it is going to be a huge deal, especially like given that it's the main trilogy finished and it kind of finished on a sour note for a lot of people.
For some people, yes. It really stung me.
I didn't mind the ending. I finished Mass Effect 3 on the unpatched ending, and my take was that game had much more significant issues than the ending.
Right. Yeah.
So Yeah. I really like two. I'll give you that.
I think that's like a almost a general consensus. They really nailed like real action and tense drama and kind of that ticking clock throughout the game. You know, had to get this shit done before this cutoff point, and it really paid off, especially when you know characters you built up relations. You know, be it romantic relationships or just kind of like. Admiration for them over time, they could easily die. And that was kind of fucking heartbreaking for the first part when I tried it. And then I had to go back and I saved everybody. But yeah, they did that one really well.
Mm. And then, Mass Effect 3 was spoiled by all sorts of shit.
Yep.
Download the iOS app and play that game.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
Your global readiness, yeah.
Yeah, that thing. So how many, I'm sorry, let's not go off that track. That's a different question, but yeah,
Knowing what's on this run sheet, hey guys, I was just going to like, how, what, hang on, I was going to shift gears here.
No, I was just going to say, one more interesting thing, like to your point about how, we're not exactly sure how well it's going to do. EA has already said that they have no plans to actually sell this in Japan. It's not getting a localized version or anything, and somebody who asked about it was told on the Japanese EA, like, official Twitter account, like, if you really want to go play it, then you can download the PC version off of Origin, but it's going
to
be English.
Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. On some point, I can understand because, it's been announced that there's something like 1200 speaking characters. And
that's
translating the text alone. Yeah. So localization costs are probably exorbitant and EA isn't confident they'll, recoup. So,
That's probably smart. Yeah. I don't know. I always like had it in my mind as well for Mass Effect, even though 3 came out on PS3, right? And 2 came out eventually, right? It came out right away. Like, it came out later or something for PS3. But I mean, I always had it in my mind that it was like a Xbox 360 franchise, you know? So.
Yeah. It kind of grew out of it, kind of like The Witcher did as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first one was actually a Microsoft Game Studios game, right?
That's true, yeah.
That's why that didn't... Yeah, it was before EA picked him up.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's... I don't know how to pivot, so...
Go on.
Yeah, we're going...
Come on, man, we can come up with a really good segue. Come on.
I think you can, but you just don't want to hear anything.
Okay, speaking of saying things with a soulless expression, let's talk about JonTron.
Safe.
Yeah, that works.
Safe. That was a safe one.
Yeah. So, JonTron, for people who don't know, I forget his real name, Jeffrey something? Jafari, there you go.
Joffies.
No, it's
Joffies.
John Jafari, also known as JonTron. He's been a professional YouTuber for forever, basically.
What does he do? I am so shit with you. I do YouTube wrong in that I apparently watch good content on it. So I really don't.
No,
yeah.
Good.
Well, if you've ever heard of
I don't know who these people are.
If you've ever heard of like the Game Grumps, he basically started
I
that.
I have,
It was him and Aaron Hansen that first started the Game Grumps back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he left in like 2013 but he was still so popular that, you know, he's able to get his own following and he's also like a lot of his followers come kind of like because of PewDiePie. Basically, he's a meme originator, right? I mean, that's how I originally came across JonTron. It's just all these different GIFs of, like, him going Eck or whatever.
So he's like Drew Scanlon.
Yeah, well, I mean, Drew Scanlon, even that GIF was, like, five years ago.
Yeah. The thing is, like, now all the people that shared that GIF are now like, oh, he has other, you know, he makes other faces.
Yeah.
So.
I know Drew Scanlon. I had drinks with him a few weeks back.
But, he sounds, he seems right on.
Yeah. He's doing his own thing now, right? The cloth map.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Like video gaming travel logs.
Yep.
Right, that's quite a really good idea.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, JonTron eventually started, I think it's like an umbrella, of different channels called Normal Boots, or, it might just be that one. Anyway, like, he's influential and stuff like that, and, he's got a huge following, and, because of that, you know, sometimes he'll say things, and it becomes a media sensation, like when he said that Mexicans are basically trying to displace white people by
this was like it's the people that it's like 2017 is Gamergate 2.
Yep.
Gamergate, yeah. It's where all the like worst. Right, all the worst elements of Gamergate, as it turned out, actually are, you know, they don't even just want women out of their video games industry. They are also actual white supremacists and Nazis.
Oh, man. And, we
long for the days of accountability in video games journalism, don't we, hey? We it's need to bring back that. Was not about that.
JonTron, this actually started with a tweet by a politician in Iowa who was actually commenting on a Dutch politician's, thing. So, I'm gonna nutshell this all. So, there's like a Donald Trump-like figure in the Netherlands, who was, in this election. Nobody cares about their election, but he was saying some very controversial things about Muslims. Mm. And one of the things, that this, politician in Iowa said is that to save our culture, or we can't save our culture with someone else's babies. And then
thankfully that guy didn't actually win the election, by the way.
Right. So
the world didn't copy England and the UK and the US.
Mm. Yeah. So JonTron agreed with this person from Iowa and thus also the person from the Netherlands. He got in a debate with another YouTuber, or not YouTuber. This one's a Twitch streamer.
It's a Twitch thing. Yeah. I didn't watch it, but I heard he got, you know, fairly. Yeah. Mullered in this debate or whatever.
Yeah, the streamer's name is Destiny. Not the game Destiny, but is
okay. Use your real names, people.
they had this big long argument, and JonTron said some very nasty things. So, like I said earlier, where he says Mexicans are trying to displace white people in America, something about like rich black people do more crimes, you know, density wise than poor white people. Mm. And just a whole bunch of basic Trumpisms, right? You know? So this has led into some fallout, of course, like, especially because Jafari, is actually, like, he's mixed race himself, so a lot of people are saying, you know, like,
how means he can't be.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's impossible.
That's right.
Yes. Look, I mean, here's the thing though, really. What's messed up about it is that and I think like Gamergate was kind of exposed this, and we should have probably learned lessons from that. And then maybe we wouldn't have been in the same state we are now as a general society. But like I think like the video gaming press is broadly left leaning.
Absolutely.
I don't, and so there is never like this kind of voice from the right. And so now like those sort of voices are coming out and turning out to be rather extremist.
Yeah. Which is a problem because, like, we've talked about this before, the left is also becoming extreme.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how far you dissent, the slightest bit of dissent means you are the enemy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's weird. And I think, like, we had this conversation before, like, why can't it just be about video games? Why did I get the politics out of my video games and discussion of them? And, then, like, everything's intrinsically tied, right? You can't take politics out of, art, and you can't take politics out of discussion of that, or reasonable discussion or reasonably in-depth discussion of that. Because otherwise, otherwise we might as well just be reprinting press releases and then going, there you are, because you're not framing it in any degree of context. And there aren't, I think like there's validity there, I think like you've got to take a bunch of voices and take the rough with the smooth to a certain extent. Like you said, Chad, like it's kind of, people should be okay with, people saying what they want and, give them enough, the things you give people enough rope to hang themselves with, really. And like, it's absolutely your right to say the things. It's absolutely other people's rights to be offended by them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing was fucking your boy, Colin.
Right.
Colin Moriarty.
Yeah, so this was,
which was
much less egregious, right.
Yeah.
So, but I think it kind of led to a bigger, consequence in this case. Yeah. On International Women's Day, there was a movement where several women got together over the internet and said that they wouldn't go into work or basically they wouldn't contribute to society, like they would stay at home for a day, and it was called like A Day Without a Woman, just to show like the impact that women do have on society. And this led to a really lame dad joke
on it was, the part, yeah,
on the part right. of Colin Moriarty, where he says, peace and quiet, # a day without a woman.
Right.
Now,
it was a Roy Chubby Brown joke. It was like a 70s cabaret comedian. It was like a Jim Davidson joke, and he was a vile racist. Misogynist as well, but still, like, come on.
Yeah.
A dark day in British comedy history.
That's right. And people piled on him, and it bled into his company, Kind of Funny Games, which is what he formed.
Which is ironic.
He formed this with a group from former IGM guys, and they are all left, as we mentioned before, and they felt that they needed to have a talk with him over this joke, that it didn't quite mesh with their ideals or their, how they wanted to present themselves. And Cullen got as upset as I think anyone should in that case, and decided that, the company no longer fits him, so he resigned. And he's going to be doing something new soon. But it's kind of what I said earlier. Like, if you are not 100% always in support of the left's cause, Like, if you show even the slightest wavering, you're going to get attacked by the left.
But the thing is, like, okay, so, like, the dude's conservative. Like, I've never agreed with a single thing that he said. I have met him, and I had, like, a nice chat with him once at TGS. And I said, I've never agreed a single thing you said. But, like, you know, you reads me insane in delivering it or whatever. He seemed like a nice guy. I can almost guarantee you there was no fucking malintent in what he said when he made that tweet. And, like, I'm pretty sure the guy isn't particularly a misogynist either.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just, it was just like it was low hanging fruit. It was a lame joke. Like, the worst you could say about it is, come on, dude, that was a lame joke. it's ridiculous in that extent, but, like, I can understand it from the point of view of the other people on that team if they're consistently butting heads over directions to write certain things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, you know, it makes sense. And, like, if he feels better by splitting apart and then doing something with video games that is perhaps a more rational and a smarter rightward leaning sort of conservative take on video games, then good on him.
Yeah, I did love that. Like, there were so many complaints, or not complaints, but there were so many people basically saying that JonTron and Colin should start up the Breitbart section, the Breitbart gaming section. And I'm like, Jesus, it is not that that far. But I mean, we've had this conversation before as well. Again, going back to the PewDiePie thing, right? You are freely allowed to say whatever you want, but when you work for, like, a public entity, PewDiePie does his thing for, or used to do his thing for Disney, that they are also allowed to say, you no longer represent us.
I think, like, PewDiePie was all ironic. You know, perhaps it was, like, his ultimate tribute to Walt Disney.
Right. Well, I think that's really all there is to say about it. Let's talk about games.
Yay, okay. Games.
Games. Games are pretty cool, right? Well, not the game I played this week. Adam was with me as I was complaining about this game.
I was present. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I had one new game this week. I'll go ahead and talk about that just so I can get the sour taste out of my mouth before something good. So I played a game called Too Dark. And, Too Dark is a game created by the creator of the original Alone in the Dark, so Frederick Reynell.
I'll give you a hot take, and I know I'll let you be not a fan of Too Dark in just a little bit, but here's a hot take. I did play Alone in the Dark reasonably recently. It's not very good.
The original one?
The original, yeah.
Okay, well...
back in the day, maybe, but... These things, a lot of these games, sometimes they don't age well. And
yeah, I mean, that
really ages pretty badly.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I can watch an Alone in the Dark, like, playthrough now. I haven't played it recently, but, like, if I watched it now, I'd be like, wow, this is shit. And honestly, there were several frustrating parts when I was playing as a child, but, anyway, so Too Dark is a kind of, like, isometric point of view game that kind of bills itself as survival horror, but in no way is it survival horror. It's actually more like it's stealth escort. First,
it's like the two game mechanics that a lot of people can't stand.
Right.
Stealth missions and escorting. Let's put them together and see what happens.
Right, that's actually...
I mean, If the guy really wanted to make it a little bit more interesting, it should be a stealth escort mission in the water level.
Oh, there you
right.
go.
In the water temple, right?
Yeah.
You have to swim stealthily with a trail of people behind you.
But you've got to break that up with a couple of sliding tile puzzles, like in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so story starts out with something happening to the guy's family, and then you cut to 5 years later, and he's down on his luck detective, and you begin with this tutorial stage, which introduces a lot of the different, you know, combat aspects and searching around, and right from the start, I knew I was going to have problems with this game. So this game is on PC, and I'm playing on PS4, and sometimes it's hard to port a game from PC to PS4. But honestly, if this was the best they could do, they probably should have just dropped this port. Because first off, you have a huge inventory. Just from searching around my house, your inventory appears on the left side of your screen at all times, and it kind of expands as you get enough items. And I expanded enough to get, two columns, but you have to go through them, individually if you want to select a certain item. And the game does not pause while you're doing this, so that can be kind of a hassle if you're trying to fight somebody and you have to reload your gun by going into your inventory and finding the bullets and then scrolling back up to the gun so you can combine them. It's a big pain. And you have to hold a button to do, combining. You can't just, click here, click here, and combine. You have to hold. Press and hold. That's terrible. Then another thing was, the ridiculous claw that you have to do to basically do the, quick inventory. So you have, items you can hold in your left hand and right hand, and, pressing one of the shoulder buttons will open that quick inventory. But you get enough items that sometimes, imagine a wheel, your inventory wheel, and you've got, four selections. But one of the selections actually has two items. To change that selection, you have to highlight it, then press circle.
Hold on, Chad. Yep. Hold on a second. I'm going to stop you there because I want, for anybody who's listening right now, because when you first told me this, yep. I was playing a game with my PS4 controller. I want those people out there to imagine trying to do this as you say it.
Yeah.
Just imagine where your thumbs and fingers will be. So carry on.
Okay, so I'm pressing the left shoulder button, and I'm moving the selection tool with the right analog stick, so my right thumb, but then I also have to press circle to change that, so I have to cross over, with my other thumb, while I'm still selecting, because if you release the right analog stick, it goes back to dead center and unselects, right? And then if you want to equip an item, you basically have to do the same thing, but with X. So, there's a lot of hand gymnastics that you have to do in this game, and that's terrible. But let's say you somehow get around that. You go into your first stage, and it's kind of creepy, first of all, because there's this big thing with candy, and you're a detective whose job it is to, save children. You're rescuing children from being kidnapped and before they can get murdered and things like that. But, one of the ways you can get children to follow you is to throw candy at them. Come here. or you can basically, you can also control them because, this is where the escort comes in. Once a child is following you, you have to basically move with them, And if someone's coming, then you have to tell them to be quiet. So you have two voice lines. One is shh and one is come on. And if you tap come on multiple times, he'll do it three times, up to three times, and the sound radius gets larger. Because this being a stealth game, he does have a sound, a radius of sound. for every action. So, I go into, the first stage, and, I'm just walking around, and the art style is actually quite terrible. It's almost impossible to really tell what things are. So I was walking around, and, just 10 steps in, I fell into a pit and died. And like, oh, okay. And it says restart level. Okay. So you have to manually save. But there are so many things in this game that don't look like anything, but they will kill you. There was just, a little gray thing on the floor. I walked over it and it said, oh, you've been impaled. And a giant sword came out of the floor and killed me. I'm like, oh, wonderful. So, all right. I have a little lighter that can light up the area around me, but it's still almost impossible to see. But if you use the flashlight, everyone can see you. So that was a big problem. I finally got to an enemy, and I tried to sneak attack him, but that didn't kill him. I hit him twice with the sneak attack. He still didn't die, and instead killed me instead. Yeah, so.
But hey, you got two hits in. Which yeah. Is good for a sneak attack.
Yeah. I managed to get a little bit further. I got more children to follow me. So I had like, 4 children. I walked them into this room and I said like, shh, be quiet while I go take care of like the 3 dudes in the next area. Suddenly they start crying. They're like, I want to go home. Like, this is like their actual voice lines. And when they cry, just like me, they have little, sound, radius. And that was large enough that the people in the next room heard. And it's like, what's the point of telling them to be quiet if they're just going to start crying? And yeah, it was just from start to finish of that level, it was torture. So yeah, that is avoid that game at all costs, really. Just, oh, what a shitty experience. All right. Well, I hope that you had a better gaming experience than I did this week, Adam. What games do you have to bring to the table?
Oh, okay. So what have I been playing? So, as you know, Chad, yeah. I now have a PlayStation VR. Very yes. happy about it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. This glorious man set me up with it. So there's been a few games, you know, obviously there's the Resident Evil 7 that's great for VR. That's what it's built around, but I really wanted to, you know, branch out and try something else. And luckily enough, one of my favorite games, Psychonauts, from Double Fine, that, they actually made a small little standalone, VR game experience kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was a wave of nostalgia again. They actually did a really good job of, even if you don't know the games, they introduce all the lead characters, they tell a little bit of backstory, you get immediately that your character is a psychic agent and has all these cool little powers. And it's just a great use of the VR space, the VR world, while, having some typical Double Fine humor and some pretty unique psychic power. Actions you can like with mobility being limited in VR, instead of like moving from point to point, you actually possess bodies and look at the world from their perspective. You can burn things with your mind, you can do psi blasts and knock objects over, as well as, you know, pick up and move objects with your telekinesis. And yeah, it was a good, you know, 2 or 3 hour experience. You could probably drag it out a bit more if you're like picking apart the world, and there's still lots to do, still trophies to unlock.
But, is it more like a puzzler or an action game?
It's not action. It is more puzzle. But in the sense that it's exploratory, it's more like that point and click adventure where you look around and you find, you find, no, not, well, I guess, items that you can pick up and manipulate with the world, but it's more interaction with the environments, looking at things from different perspectives, using multiple angles from different characters' possessions to get you around, you know, the area.
Okay.
And it's more of an intellectual challenge more than a kind of like a puzzler.
You said like you're possessing a lot of people, but I'm curious. So are you able to move at all, or is all movement based on just hopping from body to body?
It's all based from hopping from body to body.
Okay. But everybody has, like, the same abilities, or, like, different bodies have different abilities?
You are Rasputin, the young psychic agent, and he has his own set of powers, that even though he's possessed into a different body, he's channeling his consciousness rather than possessing.
Okay.
So you still retain your powers, eventually, you know, you start off with all your powers, then through circumstances, you lose them again, and you gradually recoup them, from completing different actions. And so it kind of paces the gameplay out like that.
Huh.
You keep your powers, eventually you unlock everything again, and then you can just kind of really just play around with the environments a lot more.
Hmm. Yeah, I never really had the chance to play the original Psychonauts, though I did crowdfund Psychonauts 2, so
nice.
I guess I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
it's some pretty good ports with the original game as well, so they're all out there, ready to be played again.
I think the PS2, was it PS2 or PS1?
PS2, you could get PS2 version on PS3.
That's what I was thinking.
Sorry, yeah, that's how I play it.
Back on Steam, on PC,
we don't talk about PC here,
all right? Psychonauts is, it's pretty good. I think, like, even if you play it now, it's pretty good. It's kind of awkward in places, but, like, that was the problem with it when it first came out, kind of thing. But the writing carries it, which is kind of everything that Double Fine do, so... Everything that teaches.
Yeah, well, definitely the characters as well. For a Double Fine game, they have some of the more iconic character designs and their personalities. It's quirky as hell, man. And that's why it's so endearing with me.
Well, that sounds a lot better than what I did. But, all right. How about you, Chris? What do you got for us?
Mixed bag. A couple of things. I'm still playing more Yakuza 0. We're a bit further than that. Now playing in Osaka.
I saw you watched a girly video.
That's the best trophy. Like, you watch a girly video, you find girly videos in the game, and then you go to a video parlor to watch them, and the trophy you get is, like, I was just doing this for the trophy. It's quite amusing. Yes, what else have I done in that game? Found a porn fiend running around in his pants. I learned how to break dance. So it's all going pretty good in that game. Pretty good. The other thing, the new thing I've been playing is Gravity Rush 2, or Gravity Days 2, depending on where you are. I've got a lot to say about that. Because I really liked Gravity Rush. I think, like, I should preface this with that. I really like Gravity Rush on the Vita, and it was one of those games. I know, Chad, you played it. Adam, did you happen to catch the first Gravity Rush game there?
I did, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was one of those games. It was so deserving of a sequel, because it was such, like, a rough gem. You know, it was like this. I loved the sense of place of it. I love the very concept of just, like, these massive cities floating in the sky, and, like, this girl that can change gravity, and, like, she's picking up other people and, like, flying with them, like, miles, and they're just like, oh god, this again, fuck's sake. You know, like, it's a minor inconvenience for everybody.
Minor inconvenience. I was playing a bit of Gravity Rush 2 as well, and I was my character was just casually standing in a park, and I was like, oh, there's a building over there. I'm going to fly there. So as I get up, and in the game, when you take off, you actually cause like a gravity well around you, and you carry things, or just random objects, just briefly. But I didn't realize that as I was going forward, I was like kind of passing through the crowd, and I picked up like 24 people behind me. And as I landed, I dashed them all against the wall of a building accidentally. And I was like, ooh.
Oh, you didn't like dash them into the side of the island, they all fall off. Oh, no, that went a bit dark.
Just like a way for people to go blah, 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 against walls.
I love that stuff about the first game. And it's like the only things that were wrong with that first game were just like lots of sort of inconveniences with the gameplay. You know, the camera was awkward, the combat wasn't, you know, it didn't feel particularly good, wasn't particularly involved, was quite light. And like, I kind of chalked that up with like, this is the first installment of a kind of weird franchise, and also it was a launch game on the PS Vita. So like, you know, the chance to have all of that fixed in a sequel, I was really looking forward to.
They did a better job with PS4 port the first game.
Yeah, really? Okay. Yeah. That I did not play. I think they didn't do enough with this one. I again love the sense of place in this. And the setting to this game now is like, it's all about like class, you know, the different classes of this society, whereas like the upper classes live really high up in the clouds. And then like the main city is in the middle. And like underneath that, there's all these poor people in the favelas. One thing I don't understand, Adam, perhaps you can explain, given that you've also been playing Gravity Rush 2, why is it that these poor people that cannot eat in the favelas, they have all the precious gems that the game uses as currency just lying the fuck around. Just like, just right there. They're right there. It drives me utterly bananas.
That's one of those game mechanics you have to overlook.
But maybe
nobody has like the magic wallet that the cat does, that these all things just vacuum into her.
I'm about 6 hours into this. The first hour is perhaps the worst first hour of a video game that I can remember, certainly as a sequel, in a long time. Because it takes you, you're not in that city at all. You're in like this shitty little mining town. It's dark. It's like completely the opposite of what you expect from Gravity Rush. And it just makes you do shitty fucking combat mission after shitty fucking combat mission for a little bit. The fighting's not any better. There's kind of a loose lock on in the combat, but it's really like not any less disorienting when like one errant kick goes flying a million miles in the opposite direction. They're like, they haven't fixed that shit. And when you get to the main body of the game, it's like, it's great just being around. And like, they've done stuff with that that shows they know their strengths. Like there's like asynchronous multiplayer with like treasure hunts, which is really good. Like you'll be sent a picture that some other player has taken, and that's a general hint as to the location of a treasure chest. So then you're just sort of flying around trying to find this thing. Once you find it, then you can take a picture of yourself in that general location. That gets sent a hint to someone else. And that, I think, like, that's really playing to the strengths of, it's just nice to move around these places. But yeah, it's like, the other thing is like, it's great being in this place. The shit it makes you do in this, it's bad combat. It's, and like, stealth missions. And, you know, just like, and, oh yeah, stealth missions and tailing people. So again, like, it's just like we said, like, the things that you hate most about open world video games, it's making you do in Gravity Rush. And like, what's worse about it is like, when you're trailing someone, you're walking behind them, you have to keep a safe distance, of course. Or in the stealth missions, if you get spotted once, then you're fucked, of course. So like Kat actually says, oh, I can't use my gravity powers here, because if I do, I'll suddenly shoot up in the sky and everybody will see me. And it's like, it's actually taking away the good parts of the video game.
I wouldn't say I had that much of a problem with that element of stealth, because even though you couldn't use your gravity powers to fly around, but in a lot of the trailing missions or some of the stealth stuff you have to kind of keep low to the ground. But with the trailing missions, I actually got through quite well by using my powers to walk on the walls above the character. So I was never quite out of range. And I was just jumping from one side of the building to the next. And it's kind of just, the world was sideways for me as I was following these people. Nice. You can play around a little bit more. It hasn't been like too restrictive, I don't think.
Right. But again, like that, it runs counter to what that game is, right? For me, in a way, where it should be about like soaring through the sky and like all that kind of shit. And as soon as you put it in a confined space, that's when you get like the bad camera work. Mm-hmm. It's just it all heads south. It seems so strange that they would get like the sequel kind of against all odds, in essence, and not really have a clear idea of what made the first one successful. That said, it seems to be getting rave reviews everywhere, so apparently I'm in the minority on this one. But I especially don't see why people who have played the first game and know its only hang-ups, like I don't see why those same people aren't like going, well, why didn't you fix the stuff that was wrong with the first game? I don't know. I still like its character, and there's still like this sense of fun. It feels very sort of Miyazaki-ish in a way. I love the world, but like the shit it's making me do in it is not enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. With the first game, a lot of the side quests were repetitive, did the same thing over again. Here's a race you have to do, same race, a little bit longer, a little bit more complicated, or deliver this item with your gravity kind of grabbing powers. The side quests have expanded a lot more, and that's one thing I noticed, is they took these what would be these same repetitive ideas, and the next time you do that side quest, they're going to put a little bit of a twist on it. It's not going to be the same thing. It's going to be a chain of events that might differ in a way. So I found it a little bit more refreshing than the original.
I think as well, like, I'm going to get on to kind of to your point on chains of events. I'm going to get on with like a trope to send to Kangaroo Court here, is usually when your main protagonist is pissed off with a quest line, and probably your player is as well. And this has happened like a bunch of times to me in this game, where Kat goes, oh fuck's sake, come on, I have to take another thing somewhere else. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe the person playing this game feels the same way as she does. You know, it's kind of like when Nathan Drake goes, oh, more people I have to shoot, fuck's sake. You know, it's like yeah, game. I don't know. I'm hoping it gets better.
It does. I've put in how many hours already? It's a good 30-hour game so far, and I still haven't finished it yet. Mm. But I can only say that the game does get better, and that from the original, from what I played from the PS4 port, not the original, essentially the Vita version, the controls are much tighter, especially with the tilt mechanics now. You can align yourself. The freedom of flying has definitely improved. But the one thing that sold me, regardless of how the game starts out or what the side quests might be, is it still retains and then improves upon its level of charm in both the characters, the storylines, just how colorful and vibrant these worlds are. there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but at the same time, it's easy to get carried away with the, in the world when it starts to really open up.
The strength of it is that world, isn't it? Like it's not even necessarily the writing, which is, you know, it's fairly rote. You know, certainly the sort of first act, or the first sort of 6 hours are. But then the first game was kind of like that. It is kind of meant to be just very bright, sort of easy to consume stuff, I think. Yeah, still erring on disappointment on this one. So it's good we got a mix there, Chance. Where are you? Because you've played the first one.
I have not played the first one in a capacity where I can make an opinion on it.
I finished the first one. Here's another thing that sucks about the opening of the game. Mm-hmm. The Gravity Rush 2 not only assumes that you finished Gravity Rush 1, it assumes you finished it yesterday. Because like it starts right away and then like does not explain fuck all. it's like, oh,
not even like okay. One of those comics or anything?
Nope.
Oh man.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. It literally starts with like a, you know, it's a cold open as you're in a mining suit and then you take your helmet off and it's like, oh, it's her. Okay. What's she doing here?
Damn well, it. Thanks. Now I know you're in the first game in a mining suit.
Nah, I don't think you go mining in the first one. I don't remember doing mining in the first one. You do mining in the second one.
Yeah, I've only done like excuse me. I've only done like the first 2 hours in the first game. So I mean I did enjoy what I did, but so many other things came up. But yeah, so there you go. That's a pretty mixed bag for this week. Yeah, don't play too dark. Don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. But there are other games coming out next week, so let's talk about those. We have the big one is Mass Effect Andromeda coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One. Tokiden 2 is getting its Western release for PS4, Vita, and PC. Troll and excuse me, I've got something in my throat. Troll and I is
God, don't touch that one.
Yeah. It already sounded very weird to me because, yeah, it sounds like, I mean, you know, the small boy / big giant creature trope, but set in post World War II Scandinavia? Which just sucks.
It personally looks like a train wreck. Uh-huh. It's dated. Very dated. It's immediate past for me.
All right.
It looks like something from 2007.
Or post-World War II.
Or post-World War II Scandinavia. It could be that.
Yeah. Other things we have. Dreamfall Chapters, The Longest Journey for PS4 and Xbox One. Mario Sports Superstars is getting the Western release. It's weird that Japan is getting the last release of Mario Sports Superstars. Europe got it like on the 10th, but not that I'll play it. I just thought that was a very interesting thing.
There's another game that Japan's only just getting, and that's Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a Nintendo game that I'm talking about, so, well, I mean, it is, it's Nintendo, but it's actually made by Bandai Namco, which is still a Japanese company. Anyway, we also have Zero Escape, the Nonary games, which is the first two Zero Escape games. Definitely pick that up if you have not played those. Those are amazing games. And then we also have a couple of others.
Can I add a couple?
Just a moment. You can remind me of what I've dropped. Basically, if it's not on my list, I've really just failed. Yeah.
Is everything not coming out next week? Everything is coming out next week.
Will you people let me get through this list?
Well, you kept on stopping like you couldn't. You were running out of space on your list.
All right, so we have 88 Heroes coming to PS4. That's a game with like 88 characters, and you have to finish the game in 88 minutes, and they really like 8. Anyway, Berserk and the Band of Hawk gets the Western release. That's an amazing game. If you like Dynasty Warriors, that's all I'm going to say. If you don't, then it's
an amazing game.
Yeah. Death Tales is coming out. Everything is coming out. That's the game's name. Everything. Chris is really interested in that. You can be everything from like
I saw the video of it.
You can be it's planets, brilliant. You can be yeah. lakes, you can be right. blades of grass.
It's all narrated by some like 1970s philosopher, like long dead, and like the guy's just got his recordings and put it in there. And just what like the 10-minute video that's on YouTube will convert you. Like there's bears just very rolling awkwardly like, down mountains.
That was so weird. Like the bears roll, but like everything else walks.
the weird animation. Also, like this is by the guy that did Mountain.
Which was
the video game where you played as a mountain.
Yeah. Or did the mountain play as you?
Well, you didn't, and nothing really happened there.
Yeah, well, it talked. Freedom Planet, Rayon Riddles. I think you're supposed to get rid of Rayon, but there are some riddles with them, I guess. Royal Defense, which sounds like a tower defense game, so avoid that. Yep, This Is the Police. PS4 port. I've heard very mediocre reviews for that. A couple of Toho games, Toho Double Focus and Gensa Wanderer. So if you like your bullet hells, there you go. And that is it on my list. Adam, if you had anything else.
So I'm gonna chime in with Chris, everything, yes, looking forward to that one.
Yep.
Even though it's not a game per se, or a full release, March 28th, Dark Souls 3, The Ringed City comes out.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Yes.
Did you mention Snake Pass as well?
No, because I don't think that's coming to consoles. I could be wrong.
PlayStation 4, March 28th as well.
It's not on the official.
It's a couple of weeks out, that's why.
That's the 28th. We're talking about next week. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, but I will say, Dreamfall Chapters, I was actually a huge fan of The Longest Journey point and click back in the day when that was out. Dreamfall Chapters I had on PC, and I've been looking forward to it to be coming out on PS4. For a pretty long time, so I've been bugging the developers for a while. It's a great story, great set of stories, great dialogue, some nice sharp humor, pretty unique when it comes to like stories. It's pretty out there. If you don't know The Longest Journey, it might be confusing, but I would say give it a chance because it's very magical.
I played about after the first half of Dreamfall.
And then
this is the
final cut version, so this has all the chapters put together. So
in one go. Well, there you go.
Yep. So I guess that's it. If you're interested in games, reviews, and videos and everything like that, check out all of our content at kaijupop.com or on Twitter at kaijupop or YouTube. Kaijupop. Like, subscribe, share, comment, do all that stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And you can also follow us personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
I'm at ReasonJP.
And where can we find you, Adam?
Like what? My Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It is... I forgot my Twitter.
Ads in Japan. Ads in Japan.
I think, yeah. At Ads in Japan. That's right. Yes. ADSIN Japan.
Yeah.
I'm on there quite a lot now. I never used to be a Twitter guy until fairly recently. Now I'm just tweeting all the damn time.
Well, that makes him more active than our current third chair. or our regular third chair, Jason. But, yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Adam. We might have you come on again sometime.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep. And that's going to do it for episode 228 of the Kaiju Popcast. Thank you guys for listening, and goodbye.
Bye, then.
Bye.